Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Simone Padour, and I'm on with Christine DiDomenico, my fellow co-host, and our guest today is Anne Clark, and she's going to talk to us today about being you in the world. Now, just that title, it makes me go, huh? if I didn't know who you are or what you do or that kind of thing. So tell us a little bit about that title just to begin with.
Hi, Simone. Christine, thank you so much for having me on. And the total giggle that this is. Being you is, well, basically all of this came about as a result of Dr. Dane Heer's work, one of the co-founders of Access Consciousness. And he wrote a book called Being You, Changing the World. And in the Access, it's my favorite Access class. It's I've been to it now on four different continents. It's got no prerequisites. There's no nothing. You just show up, and it's a totally amazing class. And the reason it's amazing, and the reason I love it so much, is because it's not a question we're ever asked. It's not a topic we ever look at. We assume that if we open our eyes in the morning, we're being us. You know, we got a name, we got an address, we've got all these statistics that we can, you know, pin to ourselves. So of course I'm me, and this is who I am. And the more I've looked at it, the more I realize that I have no clue who I am. I have no idea who I am. And yet the more I'm willing to ask about it and ponder the topic in general, the more me I get to be, if that makes any sense.
So when you say being you, it's not going to be the same for everybody, correct?
Well, not only is it not the same for everybody, it's not the same for anybody, and for any one body, and for any one body, it will never be the same. And that's the thing I think that we need to factor in, is that we wake up in the morning and it's like we either function from all the points of view that we have bought. So we've got a job, we've got kids, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, and that's who we are. We're all the roles we have. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that have been foisted upon us. There has rarely, for very few people on this planet, been any space to go, well, you know, who am I? And what, you know, what would I like? What do I actually genuinely like? What would be fun for me? What would be in any situation? And I see the pain it causes people, you know, every day in all walks of life, because we function so much from what we think everybody else requires of us.
Right.
And what we think that, you know, the fantasy, not only the fantasy of our reality and what we would like it to be for ourselves and everybody else, but we're also trying to juggle everybody else's fantasies as well. So with anybody we're engaging with, I'm just speaking for myself, but we tend to second guess, okay, well, what does this person require of me? How can I make them happy? How, you know, and all this energy goes into something that is so solid and concrete and slows us down and just, for me, stops the joy.
So,
and it doesn't have to be like that.
So can you say a bit more about that? Because I was thinking about this only a few days ago, where I had sort of dreams and desires and aspirations, but at some point in time, thanks to these tools and asking questions, I realized that these dreams, aspirations, et cetera, were not mine, but that of, you know, other people, whether they be friends or parents or loved ones or whatever. So how does one start to look at, okay, so are what I think makes me happy actually what makes me happy, or actually, you know, a time or space when I'm feeling like I'm being me, if you know what I mean?
Well, I think in any given situation, be it at the water cooler in the office or, you know, in a conversation down the pub, when an energy comes up in a conversation and you're sort of, there's that nanosecond where you're awake to yourself, you could ask, you know, is that actually true for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and start there. It's like, is that true? And you don't have to, there are no answers to any of this. It's just, I've been willing to ask that question, is it true for me? So And so often we'll see adults or do this with children. Oh, such and such thinks this, or she's shy, or she's, she loves, speaking. We spend so much of our lives either speaking for other people or being spoken about by others. And how much of that is actually true? How much of that is actually real? And if there wasn't so much energy going into, the whole keeping up appearances end of things, how much more energy would be freed up for what you'd actually like to do, who you'd actually like to be, what you could have fun with, how you'd like to be with your family or the people in your life.
Well, I was
so
just thinking,
is it actually true for me is a good place to start.
Yeah, and I was thinking about like examples of where we might see this in sort of everyday living media, whatever. And I just finished watching the film Bad Mom. Of all the
that was the best.
So good. And all
I
want
is short list for that. I was just being too bad a mom to actually count.
And it's so marvelous to see these women that once they let go of those things that aren't them, like their kids change too. Like, that's what I find is the people are, when you're willing to be more of you, the people around you change, which is really weird.
That and it is the total joy of it, because when you for me, when you're willing to choose what actually works for you, in any situation, the most mundane to the most magnificent, when you're willing to choose what actually works for you, not only are you making your life easier and a hell of a lot happier, but by virtue of doing that, you're giving everybody else around you permission to do the same.
Yeah.
And that's
it's
just that's how you change the world, by being you. There is no words involved. There's no talking involved. You don't have to do anything other than be that and choose for you.
Which is exactly what happened in that movie. I'm glad you brought that up, Simone, because I absolutely loved that movie. It was hysterical, and it was just such a gift to the world to show exactly what you're talking about now, that when you choose something different, then other people around you can choose. So it's almost like this huge weight gets taken off your shoulders when you realize, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't have to choose that. And when I remember in my life having, being in situations where I was talking to friends and then they would say something about how you should be doing something. And now that I have these tools about like the tool of light and heavy, light is truth for you, heavy is a lie. I remember having such a sense of heaviness, yet thinking I was so wrong and then adopting their point of view. So, Anne, do we start out with, in a way that we're more of ourselves when we're little and then it gets trained out of us?
I guess that's actually different for everybody. And I think if you've been born on this planet, then you're a rare individual if you get through without having points of view foisted on you. And one of the interesting things with, if we take that movie as an example, one of the other interesting things is you can actually empathize with all sides in that, like the control freak in me liked it, the, power hungry freak in me liked it, the bitch in me liked it, all of the aspects, all of the energies that we can be or could be if we choose to be it. I could see it from everybody's side. And I think as we come in as kids, that's sort of how we show up. We can see it all. And we're looking and we're going, what are these people doing? And then you get told, well, this is how we do things in this family, or this is how we do things in this school, or these are. And I see it. I have young kids and it's so interesting to me, and I'm so grateful I have the tools to be able to take the space, because 5-10 years ago, if I'd have been listening to my sons in conversation, I'd have been jumping in there looking to basically correct the point of view they're coming up with, or looking to voice my point of view on them. You know, oh, don't be this. Oh, say thank you for that. Oh, you should be grateful. You know, all of these. Oh, this is all of that stuff that most of us were reared with. Gets foisted on us. And I think we come in genuinely wanting to make the world a better place. We want to be happy. We want to be the joy we truly be. We want to go, you know, we adore our parents when we come in. We adore the people around us. And we will do whatever's required to make them happy. And if that happens to be contorting ourselves into a really weird point of view or an energy where, you know, there's no laughing at the dinner table, or, you know, we don't sing in church, or whatever the insanity is that we picked up along the way, I think that then we become numb to it. At times we can become numb to it and we stop asking, well, is that actually true for me? Or we're never taught to ask it in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the things you, I mean, it's going to be different for everybody, but what are some of the things that you do to, let's say you're in a funk or you're definitely not feeling like yourself. What are some of the things that you might use or do?
Well,
or...
one of the first things I do is ring you, you know. Because for those of you that haven't met me and Simone in person, we it's impossible for the two of us to be in proximity without actually laughing. And when one of us shows up in a funk, the other person just laughs at them, really, till we realize that none of it's actually real. So that would be my first call, friend. And the tools of access have, you know, because for me, I've, you know, been a seeker, you know, all of this lifetime and how many others. And, you know, before I came to access, I was intellectually at this, you know, this non-dual place where there's only one and there isn't anybody there and none of this is real. And that really makes sense to me. And yet I saw all these people going to these spiritual meetings and these satsangs and everything else, you know, that were essentially about oneness. And they were miserable. And I'm going, this does not make sense to me. If we are to be the joy of embodiment, if we are to be embodied joy and consciousness, then I'm thinking we would be happier than many of the faces in these rooms. And for me, when I found access, not only did I get a manual for me, you know, that manual we weren't born with. Well, I found it when I went to my first foundation class, my birth class, my foundation. I was like, oh, look, somebody wrote a manual about me. So from there, the tools have, you know, so deceptively simple and pragmatic, have completely changed how I'm able to be in the world. So now when I get in a funk or when I fall down the well, as I used to call it, what could have taken me 6 months before to come out of, I can now sort of come out of sometimes at the end of a sentence or with the next aware, you know, thought that comes in. And that, I think, is the gift. One of the trillions of gifts that these tools are, is stuff that used to take me months to, you know, get through or work through, or feeling that I have to, you know, basically, you know, again, a point of view that would have been voiced on the child. If you're not suffering, then it, you know, you're not achieving anything, you know, or if it's not struggle, then it's not worth it. All these insanities that we pick up along the way. So then it, you know, something that would take 6 months then started to take 6 weeks, then started to take 6 days, and, you know, now, you know, could we choose it in 10 seconds? It's the speed of change that I get with the tools is why I keep using them, basically.
And that speed is huge. I know I was talking to a friend, and I had been in a funk, and I said to them, you know, like, I'm sorry, I've been in a funk for the past few hours. So it used to take me weeks to get out of it. And they were like, okay, never mind, you know. So it really is. That's probably been the biggest thing for me, is getting a sense of who I am. And as Anne and I have discussed, and Christine, it changes all the time, and it's never the same. So if you're looking for sort of a staunch, this is me, and this is what I believe, and this isn't really maybe the place for you, but if you like I remember being able to look at each side of the argument, you know, because my family loved to argue. And I always thought I was wrong because I could see each side. And to me, that's really like being you, in that you're changing all the time. You're shifting. You're constantly in motion. So what might work for you today might not work for you tomorrow. Go ahead.
Well, that's the, you know, the joy of it. And the simplest explanation I think we can give to, well, what is being you, or how do you know if you're being you, is one we've spoken about before, is if you're being you, you're happy.
So that's
our simplest explanation. And then if you want to take it a bit further and look at it, it's like, and there is, you know, like they say in the sort of the whole spiritual thing is, and yes, there is no you, because there isn't a defined end goal that you're going to get to.
Yeah.
The whole joy of being you is that you get to discover what you like today that you didn't like tomorrow. You get to discover what you, you know, you don't really care for today that you couldn't live without 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's the joy of it, and what shows up is then different. The quality of what shows up in your life is palpably different. And it doesn't take long to show up if you're willing to ask the question.
True story.
And ask any question. You know, it doesn't have to be any particular question. You can ask, okay, if I was going to ask a question here, what question could I ask? Start there.
Well, and I don't know why movie references are coming up today, but they certainly are. I was also thinking of Runaway Bride, and I remember watching this way before I started using tools. And I remember loving it because part of it was discovering what she liked. She'd been so busy trying to fit into other people's realities for so long, which is why she'd run away from each marriage, because she couldn't hold that sort of fake personality, if you will, for very long, because it wasn't her. And just she had like 5 or 6 plates of eggs, and she was discovering how she liked her eggs because she had no idea. And for me, that's what the sort of journey, if you will, is, a journey without end. It's like an adventure every day. You don't know. Is discovering that.
And to wander through your life while you wander, I think is a wonderful gift. You know, I love to do that. It's easier to do with kids. With, you know, because I mentioned my kids, it's so much easier to do with kids than it is with adults.
Yeah.
Because we are so, it is insidious in this reality. We are so entrained to the roles prescribed to us and the lies we buy. And it becomes more and more clear the more you're willing to be a different space for yourself. That shows up more. And I think that's one of the things happening on the planet for so many people at the moment, is that the institutions that they could rely on are crumbling around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're faced with the fact that everything I thought is real and true is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And the what next, and the what does this mean, and who am I, and well, what choice do I have, and what can I choose? And it's a really, really interesting time for this work and these tools and stuff to be here is a real gift. And I get that it doesn't have to be that hard to, you know, sort of introduce people to a different possibility if they're looking for it. You know, that's the other thing. There's a lot of people who, you know, are quite happy with the roles they have, and, you know, the status or the where they are on the ladder or the, you know, the food chain, and that works for them, and that's cool. But if you're somebody that really is looking around you going, Jesus, you know, as the song says, is that all there is?
Yeah.
And if that's where you're sitting, well, these, you know, the tools of access and Dane's being Ubic is just a huge, huge gift. And it's not that it has any answers for you, because you are your own answer. Again, going back to those, you know, scripture teachings, you are your own answer. That is the truth of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet we haven't been taught, especially, you know, in Ireland anyway, you know, growing up in a convent education, you're not taught to ask questions.
No.
That's not what it's about, this reality. You're not taught to ask questions. It's very clear. And we are such magnificent beings when we come in that we suss this out really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We suss the game out really, really quickly. We can be this role for that person, that role for this person, choose this for that person, all of it with a flavor of us in it. And then there comes a point where we've been playing the role so long, it's like we started to buy our own lies.
Yeah.
And then we sort of back ourselves into a corner with something that, you know, we didn't realize we were signing up for in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Christine.
What I've noticed too over the years is that it's filtered down into a younger and younger age that we've started to cut ourselves off. When I first started teaching fifth grade in around 2003, the fifth graders would come in and be themselves. They weren't worried about each other. They weren't looking around to see what anyone else was doing. They were just their happy little selves. And as the years went by, I noticed how they started to contract themselves more and more at that age. So I think that the tools are even more important now, you know, in the world. So thank you for sharing these with us.
Well, I think what you're saying, Christine, is spot on. And I think one of the things for parents to take heart is that it can start with a question. Changing it can start with a question. Because I know as a parent or anybody that's dealing with kids and that, our tendency is to go, oh, shit, I really messed this up. You know, I've messed this up. They are damaged beyond repair. You know, they're going to be in therapy for the rest of their lives. You know, we go sort of to the worst case scenario. And what if it's never too late to ask a question?
Yeah.
You know, what if you're sitting there and you've parented your children and they've long gone and so now what are you going to do now in this 10 seconds? Whether you're 19 or 90, how joyous can your life be and what choice do you have that you didn't realize you had yesterday?
Well, and it makes me think of this lovely woman. I think she's almost 80 now, and I met her, she was 75, I think. And she's German, and she lives in Australia, and I'm hoping to have her on as a guest, but I'm still hunting her down. and she had this video on the other day on Facebook, and she was talking about, you know, when she first started, she was very cerebral and everything was, you know, either right or wrong. And it was very, you know, structured, her whole way of being. And now she is just this excited, childlike, you know, she's learning how to skateboard and she dances whenever, you know, she hears music. And I mean, you know, this woman's 80, like, she just has this zest and this vibrancy and this light in her eyes. And my sense is that it's because she's willing to be her, that gift of living and vibrancy. Like, what if it's at our fingertips and it's called being you?
Yeah, it's pure magic. And I realize, you know, I've gone to a number of Dr. Dane's classes, you know, with the idea in the beginning that, of course, yeah, I know who I am, you know, that kind of way. Of course I know who I am. And realizing more and more that, you know, who or what I thought I was just surrounded by all of these other barriers to keep anybody, you know, from seeing who I might be or what could be there. Or, you know, we not only do we buy the points of view and the roles, we then erect all these sort of barriers around ourselves. So, you know, we learn those norms, you know, don't ask the question or we'll all pretend that this is fine, which stands for fucked up, insecure, neurotic and emotional. And that's how it is a lot of the time. And it's it's when you begin to drop the barriers. And I think it's one of the toughest, for me, it's one of the toughest things to do. Like, even when that line, drop your barriers, it's like, well, how the hell do you do it? What's that? I don't know. I suppose it's a tool you guys have probably spoken about before, but.
We have, and I'm wondering if you'll just like talk us through what that might be for the people that are new joining us or anything like that. Like, if you were facilitating a class, like how would you show how to, not how to do that, but like take people through an exercise? What would you do?
Trust me, the one I find most difficult to talk about. Well, but what is interesting, so if you know, just that the title of this conversation being you, if you put that in most conversations, the energy is to immediately go on the defensive. You know, of course I'm me. But, you know, why wouldn't I be me? Of course I'm being me. You know, don't be ridiculous. You know, that sort of, you know, that all that energy comes up. And then when I clear that for myself, it's like, okay, well, one, what can they see that I'm not seeing about who I be or how I show up in the world? And that's something I see occur in classes or in conversations, you know, with friends who also use these tools, is oftentimes people can see something in me that is a capacity that I'm not even willing to look at because I've decided it's wrong. So with the barriers, in answer to your question, it's really, you know, what if you just put your feet in the floor, feel your bum on the seat and take a deep breath and go, okay, what if I didn't actually have to defend anything here? What if I'm not a wrongness? What if I don't have to justify anything? What if I don't have to explain myself? What if it's okay for me to just be? And let the barriers drop some more, and then notice when something comes up. Then you have a bit more space. You know, if you're willing to practice that a little bit and just breathe and go, okay, well, whoa, okay, you know, who am I today? And as we say in Access, what grand and glorious adventure awaits? Like, who am I? What is this true for me? Am I reacting to what's going on here, or am I actually looking at it and going, well, what's going to work? So if we sit and go, well, you know, so for any given situation or emotion or trial that comes up in life, it's like, well, what is this? Can I change it? How can I change it? And, you know, for the next 10 seconds, don't do anything to change it. Just sit there and take another deep breath. And like, as I say this, I'm laughing at myself because I so rarely do this. I so rarely remember to do this. And yet when I do, it makes the world of difference. Because I realize, and I'm saying because, which is again is a justification, but I realize so much of my life, like Christine, you were saying earlier about, you know, kids coming in, and then Simone saying about, you know, the roles we take on, stuff like that, and how, like, I mean, God, I was so serious, it was painful.
I can't even believe that. Like, I just the idea is just so beyond comprehension.
There aren't, I don't think there are photographs of me up until maybe 30, you know, or up until 20 smiling. I was so bloody serious. And I was looking at, I mean, when I came in, I thought, these people are insane. These people are completely crazy. And, you know, life was occurring and I was part of it and whatever, but I was so serious. So then I thought, right, this place is crazy. I'm going to make up my own rules. So then you go. I went into this black and white place of this is right and this is wrong and this is what I'm doing. And I, like as Dane, you know, often says in class, I had, you know, I squeaked when I walked. I was so uptight. I was so up my own regret because I was looking to get it right. I studied this religion, this way of thinking, that way, you know, integral theory. You know, I'm looking at it and I'm going, there it's going. I'm going to get this right. And then somewhere I evidently gave that up. And then I found the tools of access. And it's like, it's just been, like, has it been, you know, a walk in the park? Do I wake up joyous with myself every morning? Absolutely not. You know, life still occurs, but I'm willing to be more me today than I was yesterday. I'm willing, and when I fall down the well again, or when I feel that I'm in those energies that not only don't serve me, they don't create anything for anybody else either, I don't spend as much time there, but I don't also spend the next day and a half making myself wrong for the fact that I fell down the well in the first bloody place.
Yeah.
Which was a cycle of judgment and wrongness. I just lived so much of my life in. And yet
yeah.
we know. It's a spark in each of us that knows something else is possible. We know that to be true. So it sort of circles us back around to that question of, okay, is this true for me? And what's true for one person isn't necessarily going to be true for the next person. Does that make them a bad person? No, it just makes them different. And funnily enough, I'll let you into a secret, there are 7 billion different people on the planet. 7 billion of them, all different, each and every one of them. So it's like, you know, you can give up, not only can you give up competing with them because they're different anyway, you can also stop giving, you know, stop competing with yourself. You know, I have always sort of, the only person I want to compete with is me. I'd like to be great, you know, with Blossom's gorgeous fridge magnet I'm looking at, you know, sort of to be greater today than I was yesterday. You know, that's sort of my target is, okay, well, what energy could I be different with that another time? Rather than spending so much time on how I fucked it up, how I got it wrong, how I wasn't what I desire to be. You know, just go, okay, well, what else is possible now? What can I choose now?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I see a lot of things about being positive. Like that's the right way. So even you're saying, even just allowing yourself to be wherever you are in your day.
I think that's crucial. I think, well, you know, actually, I don't think. I gave that up about 5 years ago when I found the tool. I don't think at all anymore. There's nothing going on up here. But it's that, you know, so this pendulum swing, you know, to then go, right, we'll go into positive thinking and that's the way forward, I don't think necessarily helps if your guts are down in your boots and you feel like you've been steamrolled.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that place, when you're at the bottom of the well, you feel like you've been steamrolled, rather than going, you know, sort of that question of what else is possible is a really a great question, because the extreme positive thinking, as I see, can happen sort of just looks to bury you in it as opposed to free you from it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that pendulum swing is the same duality as the, you know, aligning and agreeing with or resisting and reacting to. And if we're in either place, then we're not in allowance of what is. And I think Simone, when we've been in conversation, we go, you know, it's just not working. And as you know, and the allowance there is then for the fact that, yeah, but I know you, I love you, I adore you, and I know that this is a blip.
Yeah.
And giving somebody the space to be able to say, do you know what, it's just not working. It's just not working today. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Cool. And I don't have to buy into somebody else's not workingness. I don't have to buy into their story. I don't have to buy into the trauma and drama of it. I can see the beauty of who they are and go, wow, it's really not working for you today.
Well, and also not having to fix people. I mean, so much of that goes on, and I am so guilty of it. Still, I catch myself and I have to be like, oh, pot and pock. And if you want to know more about the clearing statement, you can go to clearingstatement.com, find out more about that. And what I'm also seeing is it doesn't, if you're not willing to be with what is, let's say you're having a really crappy day, or you walked in some dog poo and then you tracked it all over your house. or whatever, you know? I mean, you could be like, oh, well, that's amazing, because now I get to clean the carpet. You know, like, what if you could be an allowance for yourself and go, oh, for God's sakes, you know, or whatever. And, like, that freedom to just be with whatever that is at the moment. I know, referring to Blossom again, she says, at some point, she just allowed herself to have a tantrum, just like full blown, enjoy the heck out of it, you know, lie on the floor if you want to, and just have a tantrum. And the release and the freedom, I mean, kids don't have a problem with it. Kids do it all the time. They're like, I'm upset about this and I'm going to lose my mind. And then they get over it and then they move on. And I wonder how much of that, like trying to be, you know, perfect or positive or whatever that is, actually is a detriment to our bodies and our well-being rather than being, you know. Go ahead.
I had stuck myself there for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if we're, you know, if we're on the spirit, if we're on a path, then, you know, we don't do these things and we don't think that way and we don't, and, you know, that's not appropriate. And then when I came to Access, which is as yet the only thing I have found that actually has a definition of consciousness, mm-hmm. which is consciousness includes everything and judges nothing. So if it includes everything, it includes the tantrum. It includes that lady three doors down that you can't stand the sight of. It includes the fact that, you know, there are people that will cut you off in the traffic, even if they're vegetarians. You know, it includes all these things. it's such a blooming relief to go, yeah, actually, now that's real.
Yeah.
That's an energy in my universe, at least, and I can only speak for me. That's an energy in my new that actually expands it. Rather than contracting who I be.
Yeah.
That it actually includes everything and judges nothing. And that means everything, everybody and everything.
Yeah.
And even if, you know, if you never asked a question and you just were mindful of that, it's going to change the world.
Well, and that's the thing with these tools. Like, I mean, I have friends that have only ever used the tool, how does it get better than this? What else is possible? Which is an amazing tool. That question for anything that's going well, not going well, whatever. And just, it changes things. And they have taken that tool and that's what they've used. And I watch them create amazing things in their lives. So even if you were to just take like one tool from any of these radio shows and just apply it on a regular basis, it's amazing.
And when it comes to the topic of being you, if you ask the question, so, you know, if I was truly being me today, what would I choose?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and when you're all there at the end of the night and somebody says, right, we're off down the nightclub, or, you know, we're off to this thing, or we've got this PTA next week and whatever, rather than getting torn up with somebody else's agenda, you know, take that 2 seconds to go, okay, does that actually work for me? And you'll be amazed at what shows up. And you'll be amazed at how the universe appears to conspire to work with you. It's just really quite wonderful. I cannot tell you the amount of times I have just completely stunned myself. Like a stunned mullet, you know, just with look, these tools, oh God, they work. When you remember to use them, they so work. You know, and it's gotten to the stage where just everything is pretty much hilarious at this point to me, because I realized the efforting that went into being right and perfect and justifying this and proving that. And yeah, I still do all of those things. I can see it pop up even more now because I have that little bit more awareness of how I've been functioning. And while that's changing, I can still see all the places I'm looking for approval, or I'm looking to prove myself, or of course I can do this, I can take on the world, or, you know, all of those things, whatever it is, are that sort of habitual stuff we go into because of the points of view we bought. They can start to unravel, and it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be a drama and drama. You do not have to. Oh, that's what I love about Access. If there's one thing I could get out to the whole entire universe that I love about Access, You do not have to find anybody to blame. You do not have to beat cushions. And you do not have to be in therapy for the next 20 years. You can just choose something different.
Yep.
It can actually be that simple. And that's not to negate the suffering and the pain that we all have at times in our lives. That's not to say that that isn't real, you know, for you in that 10 seconds. But you do actually have a choice as to what you do in the next 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So just for people that may be joining us, when because there's probably lots of things that we say that people are like, huh, what? Buying? I'm buying points of view? Where did I buy that? So really it's like all those ideas and thoughts and beliefs that you grew up with that somebody was like, hey, this is a really good idea, kind of like a salesman. You should buy my point of view or my belief or whatever. It's where we take it on, where we decide that this is maybe how we should live our lives, or we do the opposite and go, no, I'm never going to be like my father, or I'm never going to be like my mother, which seems to make it even worse. If you hadn't noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're resisting being your mother while persisting in being your mother while resisting being your mother while persisting in being your mother. That one?
Yes. That'd be the one.
Right, wrong, good, bad, bum, buck, all that. Oh, yeah. No, I don't know what to expect. Well, no. It is, but it's. If you go into your local newsagent and you look at the magazines that there are, how many 20 odd magazines on the rail there that basically are telling you how you're not enough?
Yeah.
Your house isn't pretty enough. You're not the right shape. You don't have the right date. You don't have the right, you know, basically constructs to fit into this reality. And the thing is that none of it's actually real.
Yeah.
None of it is real. And that's what I'm saying. You've bought a point of view. It's that.
Yeah.
Also, as again and again, Christine, you'll see this, you know, particularly with the teaching, is that that preciousness that is the relationship between, you know, the authority of an adult whole in the eyes of an adoring child who is just this giant sponge. It's that dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not locking us into anything, and it's not I'm rambling now, but it's just, it doesn't have to be hard, and it's so precious.
Yeah. And I've seen that. I remember working with a group of football players just doing a talk, and I asked them how much of what you are doing in your life is because you want to do it and how much of it is because you think you're supposed to do it. And nobody said a word, but the energy was like, just, yeah. So, if there are people listening who are parents or not even parents, but just looking at other people too, and looking at, do I have expectations of that person that don't match who they are?
Yeah.
You know, that can just be also a gift to people to just let go of our beliefs about what they should be doing. And I see it especially as parents, the expectations we have, and we want the best for our children, and that may not have anything to do with who they truly be.
Yeah.
No, well, it's all based on our judgment of what the best is. And that's different for everybody as well.
Well, and the change I see in, you know, the parents that have started doing access and stuff like that, and just they're so much more relaxed with their kids, and their kids are more relaxed with them, partly because they don't have the expectations anymore of their kids. And I used to see this as a teacher all the time. I used to teach all different grades. And the parents that had, you know, or even teachers, I should say, actually, let me go from that perspective. The teachers that had the perspective, one of those words, that their kids weren't smart or certain kids weren't smart. Those kids never did very well in their classes, and yet they might move on to the next grade. And they did extremely well in this other teacher's class. And it really was, and there's been studies that have been done about this, it really was just the expectations that were placed on that student by that teacher. So it makes you wonder, okay, so if that's true for kids and student, parent, teacher thing, then how much are we doing it to the people in our lives, or how much of it was projected on us as people, whether you're a kid or not? And if you've ever gone into a room where you could sense something wasn't right, or there was somebody was really angry in that room, that's how aware you are. So if you're that aware, like, would you not pick up, like, when somebody expects you to do something? Like, I remember expectations that were put on me as a kid, and I remember this, like, heaviness in my gut, and I was like, no, I don't want to do it, and I would resist and react to me what was being expected of me. So here's a question for you, Anne. So when you feel those expectations, like Christine talked about with those football players, what is something that you might do or be, or so that those don't impact upon you, or may not impact upon your kids? Because this is also a great conversation to have with your kids.
Well, when the expectation is like, whoa, okay, small question.
Loaded question.
Loaded question. Well, it's back to that thing of, is this true for me? And one of the questions I would ask is, you know, when you have that energy that you, these expectations are being heaped on you as an adult,
mm-hmm.
The first thing I would seek in that situation is clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd ask them, it's like, it's okay, so what exactly are you asking me to do here? What exactly is it you require of me? And if nothing else, that buys you enough time to filter what it is they've just foisted on you. And because oftentimes I think what happens is we get so caught up in other people's agendas because we are so tied in and interconnected. Like, the truth is, we are interconnected with all things. That for me is the truth of it. Everything is interconnected. And with that, then we're interconnected with all things, and we're also looking to keep it, you know, a lot of us are looking to keep other people happy, or look, whatever our agenda is, we can get swept up then in other people's agendas and other people's universes. So that, what are you actually asking me to do here? You know, what do you require of me? And
so
then
that,
then they have to get clearer. They have to get clearer about that.
Would you ask that out loud or in your head, or?
I think that depending on the situation, you know, there are some, me, I'd ask out loud, because that's just me at this point. Like, I'm a nightmare when it comes to networking meetings and stuff like that, because people, but the chap who was delighted that I showed up in a networking meeting, and he brought me over to, and he said, this is Anne. I was telling you what it is, you know, all she does, that stuff that I was telling you about. And he literally landed me in this group of people that I'd never met before. and one of them turned around at me, and I said, well, you know, so what are you doing? And I said, I'm having a drink with you. And that, you know, so this, I'm a nightmare when it comes to stuff like that, but that's the first thing that comes into my head. And, you know, people will ask me, what do I do? And I'll say, anything I would like.
Yeah.
And that's not what people are looking for. You know, and so
yeah.
With my kids, I stay with it, because, you know, my son, the last day, I tend to, you know, get the breakfast balls out, get the cereal, but, you know, get the stuff out for them the last day. And he was sitting there going, Mom, breakfast, you know, Mom, breakfast. And I happened to be doing, basically, the light dawns at the end of my tunnel going, hang on a second. I turned around and I'm going, have you lost the power of your legs? you know, it's like, I wonder how much of this you could actually do yourself, you know, and we just turn it into a giggle because they're aware of the tools. Now, I don't voice the tools upon them any more than I want to voice my points of view on them. I try not to, you know, it happens, but I try not to, but we mostly make a giggle of it, you know, so it's like, you know, what are you asking me to do here that I cannot possibly achieve, you know, is a question I have with my kids a lot. It's like, what on you know, what unachievable thing are you asking me to do here? Because it's like, you know me. You know me. You know I'm a liar. Because I've got them to ask me now. I've got them to mark every time I say to them, just a second or just a minute, which I have a horrible habit of doing. I've asked them to tell me every time I do that. So I've heard nothing over the last couple of months other than you said it again, you said it again, you said it again. And rather than getting close with them, I turn around now and I go, listen, thank you. And I'll probably say it again. And will you please still remind me? I am really grateful for you reminding me. I'm sorry I keep saying it, because I really don't want to keep saying it because it's not true.
Yeah.
I won't be with them in a second. I'll be with them whenever I can be with them, because I'm actually, my attention is here just now.
Yeah.
But I'm not making myself wrong for it anymore. I'm not the bad mom anymore. Yes, I'm the bad mom because I'm just willing to be the bad mom.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that my kids are scarred for life. In fact, it means we have more giggles now, you know, than we would have had before when I had, you know, what I perceived to have everything right and everything in a row.
Yeah.
And this is how you're supposed to show up and this is how you're supposed to look and everybody has to have clean fingernails. It's like, oh, Lord. What else is possible here? That's what I see with the, you know, with the book being you, or the classes that Dana's had, and you know, it's no secret they're my favorite class in Access. Is watching that for each individual, given that there's 7 billion or 8 billion different people on the planet, all the points of view we bought, while there's similarities, they're all different, and they're all equally insane. They're all equally insane. You know, and watching them fall away bit by bit is joy that these things are. If it's for me, yay, I have a better day. You know, if I use a tool and my world lightens up, it means I have a better day, and anybody else that's going to bump into me has a better day. But then to see it change the people around you without their awareness of the tools is truly the exponential nature of Access is why I keep choosing it. It's that exponential nature. It's that fact that you can choose to be an energy, or you could be willing to be or choose something different today that you weren't willing to be or choose yesterday. And not only does it change the world, it has that ripple effect in the pond. It's so funny, actually, because the boys were talking about that butterfly effect the last day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fly flapping its wings, and all they could come up with were all these, you know, disaster scenarios. You know, this butterfly flaps its wings and everything falls apart. And they were in fits of giggles about, you know, this butterfly causing all this disaster. And it's the reverse with the Access tools, it seems to me, is that you're willing to ask a question. Just ask a question. It is quantum physics, but hey. You know, you just ask a question and it does change for you and everybody else.
Well, the funny thing is Christine and I always laugh at this, because pretty much every radio show we have, whatever the topic is, something comes up for one or both of us about what the topic is. And so today Christine's struggling to get the episode up and it's not loading for her. And I had been asking, I was like, you know, I have to do a talk on Blog Talk and how to set one up for some people I work with. And so I had to go in the back end and remind myself of all these things I needed to do. And poor Christine's like, why is this happening to me? And actually, I wonder, speaking of that butterfly effect with that question, if I then created a situation where I then had to refamiliarize myself with the program. So
one of the things I was reminded of when you said the expectations that we foist on others and the expectations that get foisted upon us, sort of what seems to me to tie into that, or be, you know, is your point of view creates your reality.
Yes.
And in that, you know, when you expect somebody, oh, well, you know, like I had a kid in a bars class a year ago, and I didn't know the kid from Adam. I'd never met him before. This was the first time I'd ever done this. I got the privilege of teaching a group of 12-year-olds bars, and this kid was zen. he got it straight off, and the energy he was honestly, it was just what you see in those pictures of, you know, enlightened masters and stuff. It was just zen. And I went into the staff break room, and it was really interesting because the teacher said to me, said, well, that's the kid that's down the police station every weekend. And that's the kid that gets called in, and he's been expelled this many times. And he's the worst, whatever. And he's this, and he's that, and he's whatever. And I had not been aware of any of this. And I saw this kid run bars on his ball in school, and the energy he was, and what they were saying, that there was no fathoming of it. It was like a complete lie as to who this being was. And I know if that's occurring for one kid in one classroom, and we see so much of this, you know, in our own lives, in people we bump into, in whatever, those expectations, and that thing of your point of view creates your reality. Well, all these teachers, if all these teachers expect the worst of this kid, then what is he supposed to bring forward?
Yeah.
And if you're willing to be the question, and if you're willing to be a different energy, then what else is possible?
Yeah.
And I think...
Yeah, I'm just looking. We've got 3 minutes left. And I need to get in information. Number one, if people would like to contact you and know more about what you do, where would they go for that?
I think the easiest place to go is accessconsciousness.com, because there are so many awesome, awesome beings there that if you don't find me, you will definitely find somebody marvelous. And so AnneClark@accessconsciousness.com will get me. If you want to send me an email and ask me a question, info@accessfornow.com is probably the best email to use.
I also noticed that there's this amazing website, not website, there is a website, but there is also a Facebook page called Being You Adventures, and there is some amazing people on there and some content that
it's
you might want to check out.
Did you realize that there are 21 different countries that now have Being You Certified Facilitators, and the first Being You Certified Facilitator class was in March. So this is where Dr. Dane here actually had a class for those of us that are completely crazy and have a desire to work with this stuff. And he's had this class. So we have all these certified facilitators now in 21 other countries. There's practitioners, and it's just a lot of fun, actually. There's a week. There's a whole week, actually, they're going to do in February. On the Being You. So there'll be a lot of stuff on that, on Facebook, on that page you mentioned. There's a week from the 17th to the 26th. That will be sort of a focus for the Being You work as such. But it's like, what if it didn't have to be work? What if it is actually just fun? And what if it is who you are?
And if you just want to stick your toe in the water, you can also look at, there's another Facebook page called The Year of Being You. And there's challenges every week. You can do them. You can just follow what people are doing and take part if you want to. The Being You Adventure page also has classes and has a class on the 20th of January? Is that correct?
I'm not sure which one that is you're speaking of.
So if you go to the Being You Adventures, there are classes up there. If you would like to take one of these classes, you don't have to.
The adventure classes happening. Yeah, they're happening all over the world at the moment. There's facilitators from India, and I'm looking forward to doing a class in Ireland in February as well. But also let people know that there's so much free stuff out there as well on YouTube. You know, all of Dr. Dane here's work and hangouts basically are on this topic, Being You and Changing the World. And the books, you get the book, Amazon. There's an audio. You don't even have to read the book. You can just listen to it. and it will. It'll change your world. It's mine.
Excellent. So we're just going to wrap up here.
This has been great.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Anne. And we will see talk to you all next week.
Thank you for letting me wonder as I wander through your show. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
You're absolutely welcome.
Thanks. Bye, Simone.
See you later. Bye, guys.